There are many things which we should be thankful for to our God. This message is intended to set our hearts and our minds to meditating upon those things for which we should be especially thankful. Let us prayerfully note some of them. And we'd ask that you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to have several scriptures here throughout the message, and there's in your bulletin there's a place to list those if you'd like to spend a little more time with them later on in the week. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And when I was preparing the message, I didn't know what Eleanor was going to talk about, and I don't think she knew what I was going to talk about. And it's interesting how a lot of the things that she talks about are in this particular scripture. That passage of scripture relates to the sowing of seed. This is a great passage of scripture in which God promises an abundance in everything when we think of others less fortunate than us. Also in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, and Luke 6, 38, here we find that the Lord will recompense a lender for his kindness to the poor. And in Luke 6, 38, we are to picture a container of grain filled to the brim and running over the edge. Our liberality should be just like that, and we'd encourage you to jot those down and look them up when you have a chance to read those particular scriptures. God loves a cheerful giver. This fact is brought out in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9. We feel good about giving when we give from the heart, voluntarily, and not when somebody twists our arm or makes us do it. God will supply the generous giver with enough to meet his own needs and enough to give for every good deed, as we find in verses 8 and 9. And in verse 10, we find that the generous giver will be given increasing means to give, hence the thought of multiplying your seed for sowing and increasing fruit. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, that's Hosea 10, verse 12, the thought of breaking up our fallow ground or making good use of our resources that are not being used to make them bring forth fruit for the Lord. Verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 9 tells us that we will be enriched in everything for our liberality, for it shows that we are thankful to God when we are doing this. I believe we can all say that we feel good when we are able to share with others who are not as fortunate as we are. It is very appropriate that the slogan of our church is caring and sharing. This can refer to material goods and can also refer to the precious promises in the scripture. In verses 12 and 13 of 2 Corinthians 9, We find that when we are sharing with others, we are supplying the needs of the saints and being obedient to the gospel of Christ. People will be attracted to us through our love and our concern for others, and it shows God's grace to them through us. And there's going to be some focus given to Pelham Cares this weekend, in which we bring food for the needy of the area, of the community. And Pelham Cares, of course, you're well familiar with the organization in this area. They've just celebrated their 15th anniversary since their beginning. And each church has a representative on the executive committee. And verse 15 of that scripture talks about God's unspeakable gift. His gift is unspeakably great and precious. His gift is unspeakably free. His gift is unspeakably necessary. What is that unspeakable gift or indescribable gift? I believe that it is the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." John 17, verses 1 through 3, a great promise was given. And I'll just quickly read that. John 17, the first three verses. "These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Come, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And of course, John 3:16 and 17 certainly are well known to all of us, and that's a very well-known scripture, especially John 3:16. In Deuteronomy 33, I'd like to quickly read some verses there. Deuteronomy 33, 26 through 29. Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 through 29. "There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he drove out the enemy from before you, and said, Destroy. So Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded, in the land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies shall cringe before you, and you shall tread upon their high places." God is above, beneath, and before his people an eternal refuge. I think the most famous promise found in the Bible, though, is the promise given to Abraham. Picture, if you will, being up on Lookout Street, just up here off Highway 20, the highest point in the Niagara Peninsula, hence the many radio towers and microwave relay towers in the area. God says to you that you will inherit all the land that you can see in all directions, and when you look around from that area, you can see Toronto, you can see Niagara Falls, Buffalo. You can even see across Lake Erie to Pennsylvania and even to Hamilton. Yesterday I was driving up Pickwick Pike here. This is the street just up above the church here. There's a friend of Diane that's building a home in there, and I was just curious to see if they were getting near completion. And as I turned around and started back, you could see right across Lake Erie and the hills in the distance beyond there. Pond Hill is a beautiful, beautiful area where you can see in many, many directions. It's just like the song, "On a clear day we can see forever." I would imagine it was clear when Abraham heard God's message. There was probably no pollution in those days. Wouldn't you be willing to do what God wanted done if you were to inherit all that land that you could see? When God made that great promise to Abraham, it was fulfilled in the coming of Abraham's seed, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can receive that promise by being spiritual descendants of Abraham, by believing in God for salvation. And there's four verses of scripture in Galatians 3 that I would like to read. That's Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 3, starting with the sixth verse. "For so even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." And I think it's very unique that our denomination calls ourselves the Church of God of the Abrahamic faith. There's a well-known and famous promise when Jesus was ascending into heaven. Two men in white clothing stood by the people and quoted those well-known words in Acts chapter 1:11. Which says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." What a precious promise to mankind. Another precious promise is found in James 1:12. Here we find that if we stand the test and persevere, we will receive the crown of life, a great reward for the Christian. James 1, verse 12. Also, Philippians chapter 4:19 says, this thought was expressed by Paul, that the church that gives to missions will have its own needs supplied. And I'd like to read four verses in Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 4, starting with 10 through 13 and then 19. Philippians 4, 10 through 13 and then 19. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And then verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And certainly the Apostle Paul was very, very thankful for everything that he received from the Lord. A beautiful passage of scripture is the Beatitudes, found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. I'm sure it is familiar to you, and if you would jot that down, and just if you have a chance, refresh your memory. It gives a great assurance for the little guy, so to speak, not the rich and famous, as is so prevalent today. Another great promise is found in Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. and it talks about the importance of tithing. And I'll read that those few verses of scripture, Malachi 3, 7 through 12. And of course, that's just before Matthew. I think that's one of the books that we're going to study in the morning Bible study a little bit later on, the Wednesday morning Bible study. Chapter 3, starting with the 7th. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. One's use of money is often a barometer of their spirituality. Two tithes were required, an annual tithe for the maintenance of the Levites, and a second tithe brought to Jerusalem for the Lord's feast. Every third year, however, the second tithe was kept at home and used for the poor. From the time of Hezekiah on, special storehouses held grain brought in payment of tithes. These may have been special rooms in the temple, or a kind of lean-to against the side of the temple. Getting down closer to the period in which we live, I have selected 7 scriptures in Revelation, and I'll just give them to you, and you can jot them down and look them up at your leisure. It's in all in Revelation is the first chapter and the third verse, that's chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 14, verse 13, chapter 16, verse 15, chapter 19, verse 9, and chapter 20, verse 6, chapter 22, verse 7, and 14. That's two verses in chapter 22, 7 and 14. That talks of the blessing of being faithful. Yes, the Christian should be especially thankful to God for all that he has bestowed upon him. Our gift of salvation, our Christian fellow man, our Christian victory, and our material means are all from the hand of a benevolent God. Some verses in scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 12 through 14 sums it up. These well-known verses state God's requirement for the blessing: humility, prayer, devotion, and repentance. That's chapter 7 in 2 Chronicles 12 through 14. Let us truly thank him. I just want to close our service, just before we sing the final hymn, and draw your attention to the fly leaf in the bulletin about the holiest moment of church service is the moment when God's people, strengthened by worship and preaching, go out of the church door into the world to be the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. And I have a feeling that perhaps Ed brought this for the bulletin. I know Margot says that Ed brings a lot of good information for the bulletin. And I thought it was very apropos, since I always usually close the service by just adding three words after the benediction: depart to serve.